You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Just as most evolving, expanding segments tend to be, the fast-moving consumer goods, or the FMCG business in India too, is in a flux. India Brand Equity Foundation, that is IBEF, would have you know that FMCG is the fourth largest sector in the Indian economy. Household and personal care products make up for over 50% of this sector, with healthcare accounting for 31% and food and beverages accounting for 19%. And as IBEF reports, the FMCG sector has grown from $31.6 billion in 2011 to $52.75 billion in 2017-2018. The sector is further expected to grow at a compounded annual growth rate, that is CAGR, of 27.86% to reach $103.7 billion by 2020. My name is Rakesh, and on this edition of Digging Deeper with Money Control, we will explore in particular the beverage space, which has been witnessing a considerable amount of shifts in terms of acquisitions and synergies. On Money Control today, it's time for synergies in the FMCG beverage space.
The Deep Dive podcast series, Forging Alliances in the FMCG beverage space.
A September 2018 piece by the research and analytical Trefis team in Forbes commented on how Coca-Cola has paid a hefty premium for Costa Coffee. Even though this acquisition has little to do with the Indian space, it is indicative of how business considerations can make for unusual bedfellows. And of course, unusual blending of brands at a global scale impacts regional markets. Quoting from that report, the Coca-Cola company announced its intention of acquiring Costa Limited from parent company Whitbread PLC for $5.1 billion. This deal, expected to close in the first half of the financial year 2019, would give the cola giant a strong coffee platform across parts of Europe, Asia-Pacific, the Middle East and Africa. Such a move places Coca-Cola in direct competition with companies like Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts. Unquote. The research points out that many beverage companies have been undertaking acquisitions recently to be in segments that seem to have better prospects, such as the acquisition of SodaStream by Pepsi and the merger of Dr. Pepper Snapple and Keurig Green Mountain. The primary rationale behind Coke's acquisition of Costa is the coming together of Costa's coffee brand appeal and Coca-Cola's marketing and distribution expertise, and both will benefit from each other's strengths. In India, though, there may be a different conflict brewing around the two major cola brands and Costa Coffee. As Mint's Shaunak Mitra reported in September, Costa Coffee entered the Indian market under an exclusive franchise agreement with Devyani International in 2005 and had about 100 outlets by 2013. During the fiscal year ending 31st of March 2017, went on to report Mint, Devyani International shut down more than half the Costa outlets to bring down the store count to 46. Now here is a problem that has cropped up post Coca-Cola's acquisition of Costa Limited. Coca-Cola may have to look for a new partner to run Costa Coffee outlets in India, as Devyani International Private Limited, a company of Ravi Jaipuria owned RJ Corp, that also owns Varun Beverages Limited, one of the largest bottling partners globally of PepsiCo Incorporated, is the arch rival of Coca-Cola. And this rivalry affects everything, even Coke's acquisition of Costa. A big player in this story of cola wars is BSE-listed Varun Beverages, which, according to the piece, reported a net profit of 235.6 crore rupees in the year ended 31st of March 2017, up from 186.73 crore rupees the year ago, as its revenue increased to 3,490.56 crore rupees from 2,972.25 crore rupees. Varun Beverages not only bottles PepsiCo's carbonated drinks, in January this year, it took up the distribution rights for PepsiCo's non-carbonated beverage brands like Tropicana, Lipton Tea, Gatorade Sports Drink, and Quaker Oats. Varun Beverages now has the franchise for PepsiCo products across 20 states and 2 union territories. Now, it remains to be seen if Ravi Jaipuria lets go of Costa Coffee so that Coca-Cola can offer its own beverages across Costa Coffee outlets. The piece names a Mumbai-based equity analyst who says, and I quote, "It's a no-brainer that Jaipuria would not hesitate in letting the Costa business go and not the other way around." It is also notable that despite an expanding coffee drinking culture fueled by sitcoms that romanticize posh cafes, most coffee chains in India, according to the piece, have not been doing too well, including the country's largest chain, Coffee Day Enterprises Limited, that runs Cafe Coffee Day outlets and Barista, and both have shut down loss-making stores. Despite this, India's coffee retail chain market, which was estimated at $107 million in 2015, is projected to touch $855 million by 2025, according to a report by San Francisco-headquartered consulting firm Grand Research Incorporated. But coming back to Coke's acquisition of Costa, it may not be that big a deal in the Indian context, but as Forbes points out, Coke will benefit from Costa's expertise across the coffee supply chain, and this will be a complement to existing capabilities within the Coca-Cola system. Also, this move will help the company to diversify into a new and fast-growing segment. Quoting from Forbes, Coca-Cola is a big player in the non-alcoholic ready-to-drink beverages industry, currently valued at $0.8 trillion. However, when you add the hot beverage market to this, the addressable market size jumps to $1.5 trillion. Moreover, this segment is growing at a fast pace, 6% annually. Unquote. The cola giant already has experience in providing bottled and canned coffee in a few markets, such as Georgia Coffee in Japan. This synergy, to some extent, may help Coke to get a toehold in retail industry in the beverages segment, even in India, if it can work out Costa's franchisee conundrum first. Anubhav Sahu wrote for Money Control in December an interesting piece about the flux in the Indian FMCG space as far as repositioning, acquiring or testing beverage space is concerned. He cites the examples of hot beverage segment, that is Coca-Cola and Costa, non-carbonated space, that is Varun Beverages manufacturing Tropicana, and milk, Tata Sons rejecting M&A proposal for Prabhat Dairy. He says, and I quote, "In a matter of a few months, two of the topmost brands in the Indian health food drinks, that is HFD market, have switched owners. Almost sequentially, Complan has been lapped up by Zydus Wellness, and now Horlicks has found a new owner in Hindustan Unilever Limited. As far as Indian health food drinks market is concerned, stagnancy in category growth might now change with HUL pushing for product innovation and premiumization, advertisement push and strengthening the distribution reach." Unquote. The deal brings in the full portfolio of health food drinks, Horlicks, Boost, Viva and Maltova, and is expected to close by December 2019. Hindustan Unilever's foods and refreshments, that is F&R division, constitutes 19% of the net sales, and with this merger, it scales up to more than 11,000 crore rupees in business. We quote, "HUL is hopeful of growth acceleration based on wider distribution reach and categories potential in north and west regions. Distribution, therefore, is a key part of expansion plans for any company, not just in this segment, but just about any." Which brings us to distribution networks. Coming back to PepsiCo's strong connect with Varun Beverages. As we reported earlier, now the company has handed the majority of its Tropicana distribution in India to Varun Beverages, its trusted bottling partner as well. The Money Control piece cites, and I repeat, that the entire Tropicana portfolio will be handled by Varun across north, east and part of central India. The north and the east regions account for 80% of the juice market in India, and PepsiCo said the Varun deal will double its distribution in these states. The reason for this move, obviously, is that PepsiCo wants to expand the potential of Tropicana, one of its flagship nutrition brands, by entering into a strategic partnership with Varun Beverages that has proven its mettle in the distribution networking. As can be seen by now, whether it is a synergy between Coke and Costa or PepsiCo's deepening relationship with Varun Beverages, a lot goes into the coming together of brands. Sometimes the acquisitions benefit both partners, and sometimes potential alliances fail even before they've taken off, as happened in the case of Prabhat Dairy and Tata Sons board that recently rejected the proposal to buy the company. According to the Economic Times, Tata Sons rejected a proposal by the group's mergers and acquisitions team for Tata Global Beverages to purchase Prabhat Dairy for about 400 crore rupees. According to ET, the reason for this decision was that the board did not see it significant enough to scale up in the business in the challenging dairy sector, and instead asked Tata Global Beverages to focus on its core business. But the acquisition trends are on the upswing, and as Lalita Srinivasan of the Financial Express wrote in 2015, with substantial cash reserves, low leverage and signs of a rebound in the economy, Indian fast-moving consumer goods companies are aggressively chasing inorganic growth, scouting for acquisition opportunities in India and abroad. For some companies, such as ITC, acquisitions are integral to their strategy of diversifying into new products. ITC acquired beverage brand Be Natural Juice, which has a turnover of 100 crore rupees, from Balan Natural Foods in May 2014. Similarly, as the piece pointed out, TGBL, or Tata Global Beverages Limited, after forging successful tie-ups with Starbucks and PepsiCo in India, has been on the lookout for strategic alliances, be it in India or outside. The big question, what lies ahead? As a December 2018 piece on Mint went on to say, 2018 was always going to be a crucial year for packaged goods companies and makers of consumer durables, as the market was hoping to recover from the initial hiccups that followed the implementation of the goods and services tax, the country's biggest indirect tax reform. In the short term, both demonetization and GST impacted wholesale trade and led to massive destocking across trade channels, went on to say Lalit Malik, Chief Financial Officer of Dabur India, in an interview to Live Mint. But with market sentiment showing signs of improvement and stability returning post-GST, the demand scenario was expected to move up, both in rural and urban markets in 2018. Things are indeed looking up, and according to IBEF, FMCG's urban segment is expected to have a steady revenue growth at 8% in FY19, and the rural segment is forecasted to contribute about 15 to 16% of the total income in FY19. So not just urban consumers or strategic alliances are contributing to this growth, the rural segment in its own right is a profit driver as well. IBEF went on to say, and I quote, accounting for a revenue share of around 45%, rural segment is a large contributor to the overall revenue generated by the FMCG sector in India. Demand for quality goods and services have been going up in rural areas of India on the back of improved distribution channels of manufacturing and FMCG companies. Urban segment accounted for a revenue share of 55% of the overall revenues recorded by the FMCG sector in India. Growing awareness, easier access, and changing lifestyles are the key growth drivers for the consumer market, went on to say IBEF.
The Deep Dive podcast series, Forging Alliances in the FMCG Beverage Space.
What one can deduce from the IBEF reports is that big brands want to experiment with new distribution strategies and strong brand partners, also because of the increasing disposable income in the hands of the common people, especially in the rural area. What new chapters will be written in the epic that is the Cola Wars, and what new mergers and acquisitions and business partnerships 2019 will bring about, we'll of course keep you updated of all of that and more right here on Money Control. Thank you for joining us.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast. And you have been listening to Money Control.